The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Inside the Beltway on this October 16th, 2020. I am Hugh Hewitt. Thanks for listening today. I hope you watched the dueling town halls last night. I watched all of President Trump with Savannah Guthrie. Then I switched over to former Vice President Joe Biden with George Stephanopoulos. I was watching Hardball on NBC and Softball on ABC. I mean, Savannah Guthrie was throwing them hard at the head of Donald Trump. For the first 20 minutes, the town hall wasn't a town hall. The president irritated to have to denounce white supremacy for the, I think, the 20th time in his presidency, and once again say he has no idea what QAnon is. By the way, I don't have much of an idea what QAnon is, other than the fact it's goofy and spooky, a conspiracy group, and they ought to have briefed the president to just say it's a goofy conspiracy group that hates pedophilia and attributes it to the wrong people, but he didn't. What he did say, what was his strongest point, was he defended Amy Coney Barrett, and he defended the way one ought to put a justice on the Supreme Court, which is by identifying credentials, talking to them generally about philosophy, having a background check done, collecting recommendations, and then nominating the justice. He did that three times in his tenure, these 4 years. Neil Gorsuch, Brett Kavanaugh, and Amy Coney Barrett, and the Trump trio of justices, because she will be confirmed. She'll be voted out of committee next week. She'll be confirmed on the 28th of October. And then Joe Biden's going to tell us his plans about court packing. He, again, dodged it last night with George Stephanopoulos, incredibly. He dodged it. He still won't tell you whether he wants to undo the Constitution. I think Joe Biden and the Democrats have fundamentally lost their grip. Trump has deranged them. They can't say clearly no that they won't support court packing. I think court packing, which means very specifically, expanding the number of Supreme Court seats, is unconstitutional. The more I think about it after the 14th Amendment and the guarantee of due process, I do believe it is unconstitutional. I know that making the District of Columbia into a state is unconstitutional. And I believe the 14th Amendment, though it passed in 1868, ratified in 1868, and the last time the court was changed in 1869, I believe the rule of law is such that due process requires the Supreme Court not be subject to radical changes on a political basis, or we lose what law means. And we'll have that conversation if the Democrats are ever stupid enough to advance it as an argument. No one really has. They've said, they've nodded to their hard left wing and said, we might think about that. We might think about the filibuster going away in the Senate. Nothing I can do about the filibuster in the Senate. Harry Reid changed it for senators, for nominations for senators. And as a result, there are these three judges, justices that are great, and 53 appeals court judges. Soon there will be another one. I think that will be nominated. Ms. Todd from the White House replaced Judge Barrett when she becomes Justice Barrett in the lame duck session. However, I went last night and I heard Joe Biden talk again about court packing. I want you to hear it. This is Joe Biden getting a softball from George Stephanopoulos last night, cut number 23.
Here's what you said exactly 1 year ago tonight at a Democratic debate. You said, I would not get into court packing. I would not pack the court. That's not what you're saying now. Is the nomination of Judge Barrett reason enough to rethink your position?
What is the nomination? What I wanted to do, George, you know, if I had answered the question directly, then all the focus would be on what's Biden going to do if he wins. instead of on, is it appropriate what is going on now? And it should stay. This is the thing that the president loves to do. Always take our eye off the ball. What's at stake? One of the things Pete has suggested is, and there's a number of constitutional scholars have suggested as well, that there are at least four or five options that are available to determine whether or not you can change the way in which the court lifetime appointment takes place, consistent, arguably, with the Constitution. I have not been a fan of court packing because I think it just generates what will happen. Whoever wins, it just keeps moving in a way that is inconsistent with what is going to be manageable.
So you're still not a fan?
Well, I'm not a fan. I then say it depends on how this turns out, not how he wins, but how it's handled. But there's a number of things that are going to be coming up, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about other alternatives as well.
What does that mean, how it's handled? How will that determine
For example, if there's actually real live debate on the floor, if people are really going to be able to have a time to go through this, you know, I don't know anybody who's gone on the floor and that's been a controversial justice in terms of making fundamentally altering the makeup of the court that's gone through in a day kind of thing. I mean, it depends on how much they rush this. And you think about it, George. Here you got a lot of people not being able to pay their mortgage, not being able to put food on the table, not being able to keep their business open, not being able to do anything to deal with what's going on in terms of the economy as a consequence of COVID. And they have no time to deal with that, but they have time to rush this through.
Well, right now, it looks like they're going to have a vote around Halloween. So if they vote on it before the election, you are open to expanding the court?
I'm open to considering what happens from that point on.
You know, you said so many times during the campaign, all through the course of your career, it's important to level with
the American
people.
It is, but George, if I say, no matter what answer I gave you, if I say it, that's the headline tomorrow. It won't be about what's going on now, the improper way they're proceeding.
But don't voters have a right to know where you
stand?
They
do have a right to know where I stand. They'll have a right to know where I stand before they vote.
So you'll come out with a clear position before Election Day?
Yes, depending on how they handle this. But look, what you should do is you got to make sure you vote and vote for a senator.
Stop right there. He didn't answer it. People are voting now. I've already voted. He makes that point repeatedly. If George had been a real moderator, he would have pointed out, Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, you always say people are already voting. So why don't those people deserve an answer right now? The answer is he doesn't want to answer it because it's radical. He's going to say yes, and he's going to fundamentally change the United States. Court packing is an assault on everything. And you just understand, the radical left got Joe Biden to sign on to court packing. I don't know if there will be enough senators. We've got to hold the Republican Senate against the possibility that Joe Biden wins. I think it's a neck and neck. Three new polls came out this morning which tell you that. They're all North Carolina. In North Carolina, it is a tie between Biden and Trump, according to Emerson. In North Carolina, Cal Cunningham is allegedly 1 point ahead of Tom Tillis. I don't believe that after Cal Cunningham cheated on his wife and it has become a national news story and everyone in North Carolina knows about it. I don't believe that. I believe Tom Tillis is going to win. And it shows the governor up four, the Democratic governor up four over the Republican governor. That is within the margin of error in my view. So North Carolina, dead heat. I think Pennsylvania's a dead heat. I think Wisconsin's a dead heat. I think this is a dead heat presidential election. And the Senate is going to be very, very important if Joe Biden pulls out the dead heat. And not just because it's one half of one third of the government, but because it will protect fundamental institutions from change, including the Supreme Court. So if you have any cash at all, I want you to do two things with it. I want you to go to HughHewitt.com. At the very top, you'll see the six Senate races that need your help. Joni Ernst in Iowa, Susan Collins in Maine, Martha McSally in Arizona. They're all there. The Senate Leadership Fund is the easiest thing to give money to, but they're all there. And you'll find the Alliance Defending Freedom, which was attacked this week during the confirmation hearing for Judge Barrett. At the very top, you'll see a banner, "Will you fight for your freedom?" And that banner matters a lot because it connects you to where you can give your best gift. Maybe that's $100. Maybe you want to give $100 to a Senate candidate and $100 to Alliance Defending Freedom. Maybe you want to give $50 to five Senate candidates and $250 to Alliance Defending Freedom. Whatever it is, your religious freedom is on the line. Josh Hawley, Senator from Missouri, outline why you and your family need to care about this.
This freedom of conscience and religious liberty undergirds all of our other rights because it tells the government that it cannot tell us what to think or who we can assemble with or how we can worship or what we can say. But this bedrock principle of American liberty is now under attack.
Your investment of $100 in the Alliance Defending Freedom makes it possible for people to be defended in court if their religious liberty is imposed upon by the state. You can also phone your gift to 866-359-9644. Join my campaign to help Alliance Defending Freedom. Go to hughhewitt.com, hughhewitt.com. At the very top, you'll find that banner. You'll also find at hughhewitt.com in the first post, the battle for the Senate. And you'll find there the six races where you can give directly to Lindsey Graham or Tom Tillis, directly to David Perdue. But mostly it's Joni Ernst, Susan Collins, the most influential senator who has saved 8,000 Maine businesses. Maine would make a suicidal move if they do not reelect Susan Collins. And Martha McSally in Arizona. 1-800-520-1234. What did you make of the dueling town halls last night? 1-800-520-1234. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. To Hewitt, the most difficult of the question of both the Donald Trump town hall last night and the Joe Biden town hall last night came from an audience member, cut number 20.
A mom of two girls, 8 and 10. My youngest daughter is transgender. The Trump administration has attacked.
Stop right there. At that moment, I looked up and I said, all right, it's a legit question. It's very difficult because, you know, who knows about 8-year-olds who are transgendered? I don't. I don't know a thing about this. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what this mom is going through. I'm aware of only one instance where a court battle involved a father saying no, transgender interventions for a 6-year-old, and he won, and the mom wanted to do transgendering interventions. And Joe Biden handled it pretty well, as you'll hear. But that, I don't know if they told him it was coming, but it's a tough, tough question. Okay, go ahead.
People, banning them from military service, weakening non-discrimination protections, and even removing the word transgender from some government websites. How will you, as president, reverse this dangerous and discriminatory agenda and ensure that the lives and rights of LGBTQ people are protected under U.S. law?
Right there. What the vice president is clearly thinking is, I've got to get away from the idea of an 8-year-old being transgendered. I want to expand this. This is Hugh Hewitt, his debate coach. Do not ask her to tell you about her daughter. Don't ask her to explain the situation, what's her husband think or what's her partner think. Just widen the scope. Get away from the idea of an 8-year-old being transgendered and widen the scope, because that will open up a conversation that will make most Americans very nervous and unsteady. So here is actually an answer from Joe Biden that I think proves he's deft. Go ahead.
Now just change the law. Eliminate those executive orders, number one. You may recall, I'm the guy who said, I was raised by a man who, I remember I was being dropped off. My dad was a high school educated, well-read man who was a really decent guy. And I was being dropped off to get an application in the center of our city, Wilmington, Delaware, the corporate capital of the world at the time. And these two men, I'm getting out to get an application to be a lifeguard in the African-American community because there was a big swimming pool complex. And these two men, well-dressed, leaned up and hugged one another and kissed one another. And I'm getting out of the car at the light, and I turned to my dad. My dad looked at me and said, Joey, it's simple. They love each other. The idea that an 8-year-old child or a 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I'd like to be. It'll make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination. And what's happening is too many transgender women of color are being murdered. They're being murdered. I mean, I think it's up to now 17. Don't hold me to that number, but it's higher now.
Yeah.
And that's just this year. And so I promise you, there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your daughter or daughters, whichever, one or two.
One,
your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. None. Zero.
Okay, so that was deft in that he never went to the issue of a daughter being transgendered at the age of 8 and the circumstances of the mom bringing that forward on national television to discuss, or her family circumstances. He broadened it out to what is a very non-controversial proposition that no one should be murdered, whether they are LGBTQ, no one should be murdered. And women of color, especially, I'm unaware of that, too. So I'm just unaware. But I think he handled that deftly. And in doing so, demonstrated political chops, except for mentioning that he saw, when he was going to go down and get the job so he would meet Corn Pop, two men in Delaware in 1950 kissing outside. I saw a lot of people raise their eyebrows at that online because it's just not what one thinks of Delaware at that period of time. In any event, that was one of the moments last night where Joe Biden demonstrated that he still has deftness in political response. Stay tuned, America.
Can you imagine that slice of time? Rock and roll was young people's student line. To hear music that played into their lives, that you could carry till the day you die.
America, this was the week of Amy Coney Barrett, and it will be rare when we see her again, and then it will be in very stylized settings to which Supreme Court justices have become accustomed and which I think they should maintain their traditions. Law schools and venues where they talk about the occasional book that they write. Judge, soon to be Justice Barrett, was amazing, impressive, and I actually made a recommendation to President not to nominate her, and I regret that. I did not want to have the Catholic debate and have anti-Catholic bias surface as it did in 2017. That didn't happen, and my hat is off to the Democrats. I compliment them on that. They were restrained, I hope, in the Senate debate next week on the floor. It remains that way. They invented a complete straw man about her striking down Obamacare and denying pre-existing coverage, condition coverage for Americans. But I don't think that persuaded anyone. I think she was just magnificent. Peggy Noonan has a must-read column on how Washington is insane, and I've been telling people that for 4 years since I got back here. This is not the town I left in 89. It's nuts. But the the nuts she was talking about, Nancy Pelosi with Wolf Blitzer, Peggy's column ends this way. Guys, did you notice the immediate recall with which Amy Coney Barrett summoned and the depth with which she analyzed the history of American jurisprudence? Say thank you, God, and move on. She will be confirmed, Peggy continues. Having spent a long time reading of her and her decisions, what strikes me is a story told last spring at Notre Dame. It is personal but sheds light on her thinking. She and her husband had suddenly received a call saying a baby had come up for adoption. But she had just found out she was pregnant with her fifth child. She threw on a jacket, took a walk, wound up on a bench in a cemetery. She thought, if life is really hard, At least it's short. They adopted the baby. There have been many men on the court, right, Peggy Noonan, who seemed deep and were celebrated for their scholarly musings, but were essentially, as individuals and in their conception of life, immature. But this is not a child, a sentimentalist, an ideological warrior. This is a thinker who thinks about reality. She's not what you expect when you open your handy box of categories. People who understand conservatism in a particular, maybe limited way, they don't know what they just got. Modern, a particular kind of Catholic, a woman with a lived emphasis on people and community. This is not a standard conservative. And her independence from partisan politics, her lived faith in a higher person, spirits and principles, this is rather a dangerous woman. And she's sane. Well done, Peggy Noonan. I also want to call, now, her hearings took all the oxygen out of the week, which was great. It's a great case for electing Republicans to the Senate. Lindsey Graham shone, as he obviously hoped and knew he would, his humor and his good graciousness and the hug that Dianne Feinstein gave him at the end just proved that Lindsey ran a fair game. And he should win by 10 points in South Carolina, despite the fact his opponent may raise $100 million. It's a Republican state. President Trump's ahead by 12. Lindsey's up by 6-8. But send him $50 if you can. Send him $100 if you can. You can send him up to $2,800. Over at HughHewitt.com, I have a listing of the key races in the Senate at the very top. But you know what else story didn't get covered this week? President Trump brought home two more American hostages, this time from Yemen. Now, as part of this release, more than 200 Houthis, that's the tribe that runs Yemen right now, which is Shia and aligned with Iran. 200 Houthis were repatriated from Oman. Now, they were living freely in Oman. They were not prisoners. Many had been wounded and had been sent to the war, had been wounded in the war and been sent to Oman for treatment. And Saudi Arabia wasn't too hot on them going back, because some of them are skilled professionals and doctors and stuff like that. The Saudis said, what if some of them can work drones, et cetera? Are we sending back paramilitaries? The answer was no, they were civilians. But the Omanis sent back 200 Houthis, and the Houthis let go of two Americans. They also made possible the returns of the remains of a third American. That means over 50 hostages and detainees have been freed under President Trump. Over 50. And the U.S. has paid zero ransom and made no concessions in any case. Zero. Now, there are a few more I know that the president would like to get done. There are, I believe, three Americans being held by Russia at this very moment, including a 29-year-old former Marine by the name of Reed, who is up for a show trial soon, and I hope President Putin, who has been appealed to directly, simply returns these Americans immediately. Keep them in your prayers. Montel Williams has been talking to me about it. He might come on next week to talk about this case. But no matter where an American is held in the world, the ones in Iran are in the deepest prisons and the most desperate situations, and please keep them in your prayers. This president has brought home 50, more than 50 detainees. And he doesn't get credit for it, but I really want him to get credit for it. Let me check the markets for you if I can. This is brought to you by our friends at Birch Gold. The way you buy gold is at HughGold.com, HughGold.com. Now, people say to me, why buy gold? And you buy actual Canadian maple leaves or Krugerrands or American Eagles. That's what I do, and I put them in a safety deposit box, and hopefully someday my grandchildren will cash them in when they're worth $50,000 an ounce because the American currency has gone to hell. I don't actually know that that's going to happen, but gold is that. Gold is the ultimate protection against rapid, crazy inflation. So it's good to diversify into gold. And the place to do that is at Birch Gold. If you look at the screen, oh, I see on the screen, mine's probably frozen. It says Alliance Defending Freedom, so they have to redo that. If you look at the screen, you'll see a Birch Gold ad. You can go to HughGold.com, or you can text my name, Hugh, to 474747. They'll send you the information on either buying gold directly from Birch Gold or rolling over a portion of your IRA or 401k. 10% is what I usually recommend. 25% is at the high end. I'm not such a hot believer in 25%, but I do believe in 10%. Gold is this morning up a quarter of a percent at 1913. I told you when it dropped below 1900 last week, earlier this week, that was a great time to buy gold. It's been floating between 1900 and 2000 for a few weeks now as the market tries to figure which way to go in. Everything overseas this morning in Europe is up a lot. In England, it's up 1%. In Germany, it's up 1%. Yesterday, the Dow was off 19. The Nasdaq was down 54. The S&P was down 5. Amazon, my proxy for techs, was down 25, which is 0.75%. And is at $3,338 this morning in a wild week on the market. But Amy Coney Barrett's being confirmed is going to be a great signal to the market today, I believe. I don't know. But if you need gold, go to Birch Gold. Now, I want to go to Donald Trump last night. I do not understand the white supremacy question. I honestly don't. Savannah Guthrie's a pro's pro. I've enjoyed working with her in the past on election night 4 years ago. I don't think we're doing that this year. But here she is with Donald Trump last night. Cut 26.
You were asked point blank to denounce white supremacy. In the moment, you didn't. You asked some follow-up questions. Who specifically? A couple of days later, on a different show, you denounced white supremacy. My question to you is,
you've done this to me and everybody.
Why does it seem like
I denounced white supremacy, okay?
You did 2 days later.
I've denounced white supremacy for years, but you always do it. You always start off with a question. You didn't ask Joe Biden whether or not he denounces Antifa. I watched him on the same basic show with Lester Holt, and he was asking questions like Biden was a child.
Well, this is a little bit of a dodge.
Are you listening? I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you wait a bit.
Here we go again.
Right there. Savannah Guthrie cannot understand. She can say, it feels to me like you're hesitant. But it doesn't feel to me like he's hesitant, and it feels to me like he's ticked off, and I'd use a stronger word if it wasn't radio, about being asked 100 times by an anti-Trump media the same question. Now, they did have one great exchange on the Supreme Court, and I want to play this. This is Donald Trump talking to Savannah Guthrie last night about Amy Coney Barrett, and there are actually two questions on here. Cut number 27.
What do you say to the voter that thinks it's hypocritical to act in that manner and that they can't trust Republicans' word?
So when I was elected and when a president is elected, they're elected for a period of 4 years. And Justice Ginsburg said it best, I think talking about President Obama having to do with somebody else, that the president is put there for 4 years, not for 3 years. So during this fourth year, it happened to come up, unfortunately, because I had great respect for Justice Ginsburg, but a vacancy happened to come up, and we picked somebody that's outstanding. She has been an absolute star, and I'm extremely proud of it. But again, plenty of time. I mean, there's plenty of time. We're going to do it before the election, but we also have much time after the election, but there's no reason to wait, because it's almost unanimous, it seems to me, certainly within the Republican Party, and frankly, most of the Democrats within closed rooms, I guarantee you, that this is an outstanding person, and I'm using my fourth term. And you know, if you look at it, and if you put the shoe on the other foot, if they had this, they would do it 100%. So there's been 29 times when this has happened, all 29 times a president has done exactly what I've done.
To the voter's point, I'll just say that in 2016, you were on another morning show, and you were asked whether President Obama should nominate a Supreme Court Justice Merrick Garland. And you said, I think the Senate should wait until the next president and let the president pick. Now, that was 8 months before the election. This is 3 weeks before the election.
I have a lot of respect, by the way.
So you have changed your position on this.
I have a lot of respect for Judge Garland. I want to tell you that. But I'll tell you, the whole ball game changed when I saw the way they treated Justice Kavanaugh. I have never seen any human being, and I'm not just talking about Supreme Court, I have never seen a human being treated so badly with false accusations and everything else. I have never seen anything like it. And you know what? The truth is, Savannah, like it or not, the ball game changed a lot. There has never been anybody treated so badly as now Justice Kavanaugh.
You've mentioned that you would like to see Amy Coney Barrett confirmed to the Supreme Court in case any challenges come up in connection with the election.
Yeah. And then go on, cut 28.
I think, depending on what happens with Roe v. Wade, I think that perhaps it could get sent down to the states and the states would decide. I also think perhaps nothing will happen. I have not talked to her about it. I think it would be inappropriate to talk to her about it. And some people would say you can talk to her about it. I just think it would be inappropriate.
But what is your preference? Because it agreed that's not something you should talk to the judge about. But would you like to see Roe versus Wade overturned?
I would like to see a brilliant jurist, a brilliant person who has done this in great depth and has actually skirted this issue for a long time, make a decision. And that's why I chose her. I think that she's going to make a great decision. I did not tell her what decision to make, and I think it would be inappropriate to say right now, because I don't want to do anything to influence her. I want her to get approved, and then I want her to go by the law, and I know she's going to make a great decision for our country.
Pro-life Republicans would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned and abortion banned.
No, stop. That is not true. That is simply not true. Most pro-life Republicans would like to see Roe v. Wade overturned because it's a state matter. She does not know what most pro-life Republicans want. Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. If you don't mind, I'd like to start with some poetry news, there is poetry news. Did you see where a first folio of Shakespeare's work sold this week at auction for $10 million?
Missed that. I wasn't bidding.
That's a printed copy of his plays. Now, imagine the value if we ever found a document in Shakespeare's own hand. Now, I ask that because right behind me, I have 25 legal pads, several golf scorecards, and last year's McRib wrapper with drafts of my work. So if anyone wants to invest and wait 500 years, they're available for shipment.
There you go, at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. That's how you get a hold of that.
That's right. Lots of questions were asked this week, and I have some more. Are you now, or have you ever been, a person who might pray? Do you feel a higher purpose at the breaking of each day? Do you thank a greater power for the beauties that astound you and acknowledge your good fortune in the people that surround you? Are you now, or have you ever been, a student growing strong, looking for some guidance that can show you right from wrong? Did you listen to your teachers? Did you listen to your heart and follow both directives toward God or law or art? Did you don a mentor's mantle at the place where life had brought you and share with other seekers what your favorite teachers taught you? Are you now or have you ever been assigned a parent's role, entrusted by the hand of fate to raise souls hale and whole? Did you shelter them from evil? Did you free them to explore? Did you give them all you thought you had, then find that you had more? Are you now or have you ever been at the center of a storm, where relentless winds beset you and demand that you conform? Did you rise above your worries and not succumb to theirs by the calm and understanding that comes from those daily prayers? When the answers to these questions are all dutifully discussed, then I think we have a justice whose judgment we can trust. That's Are You Now by Tarzana Joe.
That's a great poem to end Supreme Court week with, Tarzana Joe. I hope
Thank you
are... flooded with commissions. Are they continuing to roll in this era of rising cases?
Yes, but they're still rising in weddings.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. The wedding business is back. And if you need a poem for a wedding, a reunion, or any occasion, even a eulogy, write to Joe at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com. And Joe, will the poem be posted at TarzanaJoe.com?
Indeed it will. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend.
Have a good day.
I would like you to go, in honor of Joe, not only to TarzanaJoe.com, but to Alliance Defending Freedom at the very top of HughHewitt.com. I say this as sincerely as possible. We need them in the field defending religious liberty all across the United States. Whether you can give $10 or $100 or $1,000, give your best gift to keep these remarkable lawyers out there protecting people's right to worship as they see fit. All right, I believe that even if Donald Trump wins a second term, it's going to take many, many years for religious liberty the whole theory of it, for people to understand why religious plurality is great and good again. And I heard Mike Lee this week talking about 1838 when the governor of Missouri issued an extermination letter for Mormons. And I thought to myself, people don't know the history of America. They don't know the anti-Catholicism in the 1850s. They don't know that the Ku Klux Klan went after African Americans. They also went after Catholics, not to the same degree and with violence the way they did after blacks. But they were deeply bigoted against Catholics. And we're out of that era. But there are still remnants in the mini Blaine amendments that Mike Lee talked about and Judge Barrett commented on in an appropriate way that need contesting. And just this year, a mini Blaine amendment came up. A religious school was not going to be eligible for support that every other school could get. And the Alliance Defending Freedom was in there fighting for it. So I'd like you please to go to HughHewitt.com, go to the very top and find the banner, Will You Fight for Your Freedom? Give Now, and make a contribution today. Right below that is the battle for the Senate, and it's got all the Senate races. So the ongoing effort in the courts is led by ADF, and I want you to contribute to that. But the ongoing protection of the republic resides in the Senate, the ongoing body of the longest term. We change the president every 4 years or not. They can only go 8 years. And we change the Congress every 2 years. But the Senate is a continuing body. Their members are never all on the ballot. It continues at least 2/3 of it every single year. And to make an impact, you've got to be for center-right conservative Republicans every single election. And there are a half dozen of them that are being pummeled left and right by left-wing extremists. And I put all their names up. Joni Ernst in Iowa, Susan Collins, the wonderful, terrific Susan Collins, who passed the PPP. She crafted it in the United States Senate. She saved thousands of businesses in Maine. She's under the gun. You've got Martha McSally. The most unusual thing yesterday, her opponent's press director had to take down a tweet calling policemen pigs. Fascist pigs. I can't believe Mark Kelly has that kind of judgment, but he does. Go and support. If you support the police, go support Martha McSally. I've listed her over at HughHewitt.com, the battle for the Senate. Get involved in these last 18 days in supporting Alliance Defending Freedom and supporting American candidates for the Senate. Trump and Biden have enough money. They're going at each other full tilt. But our Senate candidates on the center right need your help. From Maine and Susan Collins to Arizona and Martha McSally and everywhere in between, go and give. I'll be right. Don't forget John James in Michigan, Detroit. He's going to be your next senator, and he's going to be great. John James. Stay tuned, America. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.